My first experience with spirituality was with LSD when I was 17. You know, I can honestly say that it was my first excursion into other dimensions.
It's estimated that like 23 million people took LSD or other psychedelics into the 60s and 70s. And many of them had profound, positive spiritual experiences. And they say that is that they're interested in the experience of religions, not just because of psychedelic drugs, but I think that was a major factor.
This is New World Radio. A holistic worldview of current events and popular culture with your host, the Reverend Laura Barrett Bennett, and weekly guest, Christopher Naughton. New World Radio starts now.
It reads like an archetypical dream. Four individuals, four icons, intersecting in 1960 and sharing two things in common: Harvard University and psychedelics. They ended the 1950s, they ushered in a new era, and by the end of the century, Americans had a new outlook on religion, medicine, and the mind-body-spirit connection. Welcome to New World Radio. I'm Christopher Naughton, flying solo this week. Reverend Laura Barrett Bennett will be back next week. But joining me today from Alameda, California, is Don Latin. He is a journalist and an author of numerous books. His latest, now just coming out in paperback, The Harvard Psychedelic Club, How Timothy Leary, Ram Dass, Houston Smith, and Andrew Weil Killed the 50s and ushered in a new age for America. And Don, after reading the book, I'd have to say that Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell would very much appreciate how you set the book up. Each of these four iconic figures literally represent an archetype.
That's right. One of the titles I was playing with for the book was Healer, Teacher, Trickster, Seeker, which are the four archetypes. I'm glad we went with Harvard Psychedelic Club in the end. But I kept that motif. And
right.
And the four characters are Timothy Leary, who was the trickster, Ram Dass, a.k.a. Richard Alpert, who was the seeker, Houston Smith, religion scholar, was the teacher, and Andrew Weil was the healer.
Leary is probably remembered more than the other three, and that's sad because the others probably became quintessential leaders in their respective fields.
Yeah, in the book I argue that Ram Dass, Houston Smith, and Andrew Weil actually had more of a long-term impact on the culture, especially if we're talking about a positive impact. I mean, Leary was a brilliant guy, but he was also suffered from megalomania, and he went a little overboard in various ways, which I write about in the book. But in a way, his legacy was negative because he inspired a backlash against, I'm not just talking about street use of LSD, but a backlash against serious, scientific research into the possible beneficial uses of psychedelic drugs, which have just started to come back after a 40-year lull, inspired, partly by Leary. Richard Nixon called Leary the most dangerous man in America,
mm-hmm.
to which Leary replied, "Oh, yeah, well, I have America surrounded." A classic Leary line right there.
and let's go ahead and listen to a clip from Leary from 1967, and you can understand why the authorities were so perturbed, if not frightened by him. Clip number one.
The function of a performing philosopher is not to try to sell you on any brand name of philosophy. I have no dogma. I have no favorite cause here. I have one cause, and that's the goal of a performing philosopher, is to encourage you and inspire you and empower you, to the extent I can, to think for yourself and question authority. Now, y'all can get in trouble that way. And that's part of the game, Most people, see, don't want to change. Most people are doing the best they can. How many of us in our growing years were encouraged to think for ourselves and question authority and come out with new ideas? when you teach kids to be individuals, you're undercutting every religion and every organization and every political dogmatic system throughout the world history. No matter whether you're left, right, Christian, Jewish, Mormon, name it, everybody who had an organization agreed you had to take kids and get them to line the kids are little wogs, a little animal. You got to get them to, with a carrot and a whip. You got to get them to conform and join the pack.
Yeah, so there it is, all about conforming, or at least Leary. And again, whereas the other three really took what you could say were definitive spiritual paths, Leary really never went down that path per se, but he was about a psychological revolution, and he was about questioning authority.
Yeah, I mean, well, Leary was a brilliant guy. I mean, people forget that before all the controversy at Harvard and his later infamy in the 60s, he was a rising star in clinical psychology in the field of personality assessment. He wrote a book in the late 50s, which was named the Book of the Year by the American Psychological Association. He was a brilliant guy, and he even before he took psychedelics, which he took for the first time in the summer of 1960, right in the middle of his three-year tenure at Harvard. He was questioning the relationships between like psychologists and research subjects, or psychologists mm-hmm. and their patients, and he was doing some very interesting work.
He was kind of knocking some of the stuffed shirts off their perch.
He was, and they didn't really appreciate him too much at Harvard. I mean, the guy who hired him at Harvard, David McClellan, you know, supposedly said to Leary, "We're going to shake things up at Harvard," you know, when he hired him, but didn't realize exactly how much Leary was going to shake things up.
Turn things upside down. As I was reading the book, you bring together these four world-renowned individuals, and not only do they intersect at Harvard in 1960 and 1961, but there are all sorts of other personalities and hardly bit players who intersect in this entire scenario as well. Aldous Huxley comes up at least a half dozen times
right.
in your book. Make the connection, if you can, between Huxley, who had experimented with psilocybin, wrote The Doors of Perception, and how does that translate into what happened with Leary and Richard Albert, later became Ram Dass, at Harvard in the 1960s?
Yeah, well, in a way, the psychedelic revolution of the 1960s, you could argue, really began in the spring of 1953, when Aldous Huxley took, it was mescaline, actually, that he took, mescaline in his study in his home in the Hollywood Hills, and had an experience, a mystical experience, which he wrote about in a book called The Doors of Perception, which came out the next year, 1954. And it was a very influential book. All the characters in my book, Leary, Albert, Smith, and Weil, had read the Doors of Perception and were very interested in experimenting with psychedelics on their own. And as it just turned out, the fall, when Leary took psilocybin on his vacation in Mexico in the summer of 1960, and he came back to Harvard for his classes in the fall. And it just so happened that Aldous Huxley was right down the road at nearby MIT, where he was delivering a series of lectures to celebrate the centennial at MIT. And, of course, he heard about what Leary was up to, and they met and had dinner at a Boston restaurant one night. It happened to be the night that John F. Kennedy was elected president, November of 1960. And you mentioned the synchronistic, or the coming together of all these characters. It's not just the characters in the book, but it's just the place. I mean, you know, of course, Kennedy was a Harvard man. You know, he was a senator from Massachusetts. And, you know, there was a whole, I was just sort of a kid in 1960, but I remember it. There was a whole new feeling in the air. There was a feeling of hope and optimism. I mean, a bit like some people felt during the Obama campaign, when Obama was first elected. Maybe the feeling didn't last that long in either case, but it really was. I mean, literally and symbolically, the beginning of the 60s right there at Harvard. In the fall.
Yeah, and like George Harrison later said, kind of a mini renaissance where, you know, lots of people came together. There was this creative flow, but also this great spiritual explosion as well. I mean, let's first take a look now at Houston Smith, and he wrote a book that is a bestseller over many years. I think it's been first came out about 50 years ago, and it was The Religions of Man.
Originally called the Religions of Man, now called the World's Religion.
Right. Okay. So he's really, in a way, a descendant of William James, who talked about varieties of religious experience around the world. But Houston Smith, in the mid-1950s, is the son and daughter of missionaries who were in China. He was a divinity student himself. He got on what was PBS at the time, prior to it becoming PBS, and really introduced many, probably millions of Americans to Eastern notions.
Yeah, Houston had a show on, it was called National Educational Television at the time, but a national show where he introduced a lot of Americans to new ideas about Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Islam, and other faiths. And he was, and his book had just come out in 1958, just before the events that I write about in the book. And the reason that Houston was brought in to the Harvard Psychedelic Project at Harvard is because, I mean, Leary and Richard Alpert and the graduate students who were working with them were having these mystical, strange kind of mystical spiritual experiences. They were not religious men. They were not interested in spirituality. I mean, they never even used the word. They were scientists. They were clinical psychologists, and they were, you know, frankly surprised that they were having these religious feelings, these spiritual feelings, and they didn't know what is this an authentic religious experience? Is this what the saints and the sages are talking about over there? They really didn't know. So they had actually hoped to bring Huxley into the project, but he actually recommended Houston because he wasn't going to be there that long, and he was busy with other things, I guess. Richard Alpert and Timothy Leary brought Houston in to what was originally called the Harvard Psilocybin Project, as a sort of a theological consultant to answer the question, are these authentic religious experiences that people are having, and how do they differ from other sorts of religious experiences? Which was a question that Houston was very interested in. He'd been writing about mysticism for many years, and he'd also been meditating. He was a serious meditator. He was involved with the Vedanta Society, and which is a kind of a Hindu missionary organization. But he never really had a full-blown mystical experience himself, and so he wanted to try these drugs to, see what it is that he'd been writing about all these years.
And I think he actually approached Aldous Huxley, and Huxley said, contact this guy Leary.
Right. So Huxley was the connection there. Also, interestingly, Huxley is the one who gave Leary and Alpert the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which they'd never heard of. And a few years later, they wrote their book called The Psychedelic Experience, which was really a manual on how to take an LSD trip that was based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
So it's kind of interesting because, again, Alpert comes from a very straight-laced background. He's blue blood. He's raised with lots of wealth. His dad owns a railroad, and he's a lawyer from Hartford, Connecticut. Leary didn't have that kind of lineage, but he's also an erudite, intelligent guy. But now you bring Houston Smith into the equation, and let's face it, this guy was buttoned up. He came from a very, very conservative background. I think his wife even alluded to the fact that, oh, my goodness, Houston has so much to learn. He's so naive, and he's so straight-laced. So you bring, let's face it, you bring kind of the nerdy divinity student into this, and he kind of, he's been on PBS, he's been on national TV, he's taught the nation, or he's told the nation about yoga and notions such as this. But now Leary turns him on to, is his first excursion on psilocybin, is it a natural plant, or did Leary actually give him LSD for that very first journey?
No, they started out with psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in so-called magic mushrooms,
right.
Psilocybin mushrooms. And Leary's first trip, which was in the summer of 1960, involved actual mushrooms that they found through this priestess, this called Gurundera, down in Mexico. But what they were using in their research was a synthesized form of psilocybin. So it's basically the same drug that you find in the mushrooms, but it's synthesized, and so you can very accurately control the dose and all of that. So, yeah, they didn't take actually LSD for a couple years. The original research was all done with psilocybin.
You seem to proffer the notion that Houston Smith has his first mystical experience, despite being a divinity student for those many decades, being a writer, on-air personality. He doesn't really have a bona fide mystical experience until the Good Friday experience. Tell us about that.
Yeah,
fascinating story.
Yeah, it was in 1962, and it was They only really did two serious research projects at Harvard, and one of them was called the Good Friday Experiment, which involved a group of divinity students from a nearby seminary, half of which were given psilocybin, and half of which were given a placebo, which gave you some kind of tingly kind of side effects, which would make you might think you were getting a psychedelic drug. And they gathered in the basement of Marsh Chapel at Boston University on Good Friday, 1962, and conducted this experiment. And the experiment was, you know, it was a double-blind experiment, so no one knew who was getting the psilocybin or who was getting the placebo. And Houston was one of the guides, but the guides were also getting the drugs. One of the things that was revolutionary about Leary's research is that the researchers would take the drugs with the subjects and experience this together. In a way, that was more revolutionary than the fact that they were giving people drugs. It was his questioning the role of the researcher. Anyway, so Houston had a very profound religious experience. The upstairs in Marsh Chapel, the Good Friday service is going on, and it's being piped. The sermon and the music is being piped down. An audio feed is being piped down into the basement, and these are all divinity students, and they're basically just going through the Good Friday service. Houston, as you can mention, I mean, he was the son of Methodist missionaries in China. You know, he was imbued with, you know, Christianity, and so it's not surprising that he had such a powerful experience in a Christian context, because that's what he was familiar with.
And I think he later said, and again, he's still alive in his 90s, and I still think he says that was the most powerful mystical experience he had ever experienced.
Yeah, I mean, Houston, when he talks about this experience, his eyes light up, you know, and he said, "Oh, Don, what a way to start the 60s.
I'm speaking with Don Lattin today. He is the author of The Harvard Psychedelic Club, How Timothy Leary, Ram Dass, Houston Smith, and Andrew Wild Killed the 50s and Ushered in a New Age for America. Don has written other books as well, including Following Our Bliss, How the Spiritual Ideals of the 60s Shape Our Lives Today, and Shopping for Faith, American Religion in the New Millennium. And coming up in our next section, Andrew Weil, most of you know him as Mr. Natural, the holistic guru. But did you know that he set both Richard Alpert and Tim Leary up? I'll be back with Don Lattin in just a minute.